Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The Bible says that while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture.
That is not what God says. You are badly misinterpreting the Word of God. And the consequences of your misinterpretation are enormous. I'm not a betting Baptist, but if I were, I would put money on the table that 50 years from now, Southern Baptists will look at women and the role of women the way we now look at slavery.
Well, that's Richard Land, Senior Officer for the Southern Baptist Convention, and Wade Burleson. He's pastor of a Southern Baptist megachurch in Enid, Oklahoma. They obviously disagree, these two Southern Baptists, on the role of women in church, or whether or not, let's just put it on the table, whether or not women ought to serve as pastors in that largest Protestant denomination in the United States. This is not a new battle, but it's one that you're going to hear about here during Audio Open Lines. It's kind of resurfaced again, an old controversy in the Southern Baptist Convention about whether or not women can be pastors. In the past, they have ordained a few women and allowed them to serve in pastoral roles under the supervision of a male pastor, and then they put the kibosh, I think, largely on the ordination of women altogether. Was that a bad move? The Southern Baptist Convention is now reporting a slight decline in its membership. Does it have anything to do with the fact that in the minds of some Southern Baptists and many others outside that church, they've restricted the role of women, unbiblically restricted the role of women in the Southern Baptist Convention? Think about it this way. The two largest confessions, church bodies, denominations, if you will, in the United States, the Roman Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Convention, have more or less held the line against the ordination of women to the pastoral office. But virtually everyone else, not everyone else completely, but virtually everyone else, has in one form or another capitulated to the sensibilities of culture and ordained women to the pastoral office, in spite of passages that say that the pastoral office is only for those men whom God will call. Even some of the big megachurches in the United States, the ones that are kind of quasi-parachurch, non-denominational denominations like the Willow Creek Association, they made a very clear shift, I think in the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken, on their position about whether or not women can serve on their pastoral staff. They do have one or two, I believe. And they consciously did it. They did it openly before their congregation. And as one of the parts of the covenant that you sign, if you join Willow Creek as a congregation in South Barrington, Illinois, you agree to submit to the pastoral authority of a female pastor as well as a male. So are these congregations and denominations that are holding the line against the ordination of women doing something wrong and potentially damaging their potential for growth? Now, as we listen to this story from National Public Radio, I want your reaction to both sides on this issue. 1-877-623-MIE. It's Audio Open Lines. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 27th of July. Our in-studio email address. It's great for comments and questions as well. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, when you see some major mega churches, both inside and outside, the Southern Baptist Convention saying we should have, we will have female pastors, do you think that one day we'll see a senior pastor at a megachurch who is a woman? I can't. There may be one out there, but I can't think of one that it's prominent enough to have risen to the level of radar detection out there. But do you think we'll have a major megachurch pastored by a woman in the near future? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's go to the story from National Public Radio.
For the first time in decades, the Southern Baptist Convention is losing members. It lost former President Jimmy Carter 9 years ago. Recently, Mr. Carter wrote that a big reason for leaving was its treatment of women. The Southern Baptist Convention says women cannot hold positions of leadership over men. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
A few years ago, when Julie Pennington Russell showed up for her first Sunday as pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Waco, Texas, she was greeted by a crowd of protesters.
I was walking through the picket line with my son, Taylor, who was 7 at the time. All of a sudden, he squeezed my hand and pulled me down, and I heard him say, "Mom, who is Jezebel, and why are they calling you that?"
The protesters were from other Baptist churches that disapproved of Calvary calling a woman as senior pastor. Baptist churches are independent and can hire anyone they want, but if they hire a woman, they run the risk of being disfellowshipped or kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Richard Land, a senior officer of the SBC, says the reason is simple.
We believe that the Bible says that while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture.
All right, now he very well articulates what is the traditional and biblical view of women's service in the church. I was corrected recently by someone when I used the word the role of women in the church. We don't talk role. That's not really a biblical term. We don't play roles in the church. There's service in the church. So I think that Richard Land has very fairly articulated the historic view of the church on the service of women in the church. Both men and women are gifted for service in the church, but the nature of that service differs. And one of the key differences is, biblically, that to serve in the pastoral office, God calls only men qualified by Scripture. It's not that any man can be a pastor, but only those whom God will call. And it's quite clear, if you look at the New Testament, it's not only that Paul does not conceive of a man serving as a pastor. There is no other position in view for him. And both historically and in New Testament terms of Scripture, you will find no exception to that norm. God calling men to serve as pastors in his church. The role of women, the service of women, takes on a different cast. A different realm or a different scope. So that's the biblical position. Of course, very few hold to that anymore, especially among Protestant denominations. And even those that are still holding to it, it's a rather tenuous grip on the historic position. Do you think the church would be better off saying, look, we've come of age, it's the 21st century, let's get with the times, you've come a long way, baby, ordain women? We wouldn't have to be embarrassed that we don't anymore. 1-877-762-3-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Okay, we've heard from Richard Land. More on the NPR story.
Land is referring to the writings of the Apostle Paul, who said women should not have authority over men in the church or the home. The Baptists reaffirmed that teaching in 2000. But Wade Burleson, who pastors a Southern Baptist megachurch in Enid, Oklahoma, believes the leaders got it wrong.
That is not what God says. You are badly misinterpreting the Word of God. And the consequences of your misinterpretation are enormous.
Burleson says Jesus treated women as equals, and if Southern Baptists ignore his example, the denomination will die. Burleson believes there's an underground movement within the convention to rethink women's roles.
No.
Richard Land says Burleson is dreaming. He says Southern Baptists are united. Of their 44,000 churches, fewer than 100 have women leaders. Land concedes they've lost members in recent years, but he says tacking leftward is not the answer.
Those people who are saying, well, we need to broaden and we need to be more accepting of divergent views, those are the same people who have led the mainline denominations to death's door.
All right, I'm going to take a break here. Not actually a break, but I do need to point something out. The argument made that Jesus treated women as equals along with men, okay, insofar as that goes, yes, of course he did. In fact, Jesus' view of women culturally and socially in first century Palestine was nothing short of revolutionary. But Jesus did not ordain women to be his apostles. Nor did he instruct his apostles to ordain women to be pastors after their kind. And the early church seems to take very seriously the example of Jesus in who he laid hands on for pastoral service, for apostolic service, and followed in that norm. And then you have Paul coming along saying, look, this is what I received from the Lord. A command of the Lord, he calls it, that men ought to exercise authority in the church and women ought to not exercise that kind of authority in the church. And he calls it a command of the Lord. In other words, he's claiming he got it straight from Jesus. So both by explicit command and by example, the church, although Jesus does welcome women and men as equals, the service he assigns them in the church is not the same service. It may well be equal, but it's not the same service. I think that needs to be pointed out. Let's see what Sean has to say. Sean is calling from his car. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you, Todd, for taking the call. I just would really like to know why women, or at least the ones in question, feel the need to usurp that particular role from the man. I just don't understand what their motivation for something like that is.
Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate the call. I used to say this is about usurpation of authority. But and it may be that in some cases, but I don't think this is about trying to overturn pastoral authority. It's an attempt to take a service in the church that's not been given. I wouldn't like it so much to kind of breaking fourth commandment, overturning authority, as much as, because the authority isn't vested in the man as a man, but in the office. I would think of it in terms of trying to take what God hasn't given, or trying to force the church to do something that the church has never been authorized by Christ to do. More in answer to Sean's question after this. I want to hear from women. Call during this break. Why do some women want to become pastors? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-MYIE.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for his saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. VillageLutheranChurch.org.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's audio open lines. We're listening to a National Public Radio story on a battle within the Southern Baptist Convention over female pastors. I want to hear from you on the service of women in the church. Our email address this Monday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Just before we go back to the phones, the term usurpation, or why women are usurping the authority of men. This is not about the authority of men. This is about the authority of Christ. And they, I don't think they're saying we want to overturn anything or illegally take this position, which is the dictionary definition of usurpation. They would say it's our right. And again, I would point out, pastoral office has nothing to do with whose right it is. This is about who calls and has Christ authorized the church to do such a thing. Tim is calling from his car. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I don't understand how this topic can continuously be debated when Scripture seems to be so clear on it. How do the people that believe women should be pastors interpret the same Scripture that we interpret to be so clear that women are not to serve as pastors?
Well, that's a good question. It's interesting that this has ramifications beyond simply ordaining women to the pastoral office. What do they do with it? Some of them simply dismiss it as cultural bias on the part of the early church or on the part of Paul. They were simply, they were products of their culture. Their culture was biased against women, so they were too. That's unacceptable, because if we have an inspired text here, the cultural taboos, while they may influence Paul individually, if we have an inspired scripture here, the two can't coexist together, Paul's opinions and the inspiration of scripture. Now, if you want to throw out inspiration, then it's a whole different ballgame. Some of them say that it's not the kind of authority. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about women not exercising that kind of authority. It's a different kind of authority. Although when Paul talks about things in the church, there's one kind of authority he deals with, and that's the authority of this office, apostolic and or pastoral, to which he has been called and to which other men have been called. But in one way or the other, they try to explain them away. Never a good thing to do with the Bible. Steve is calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hey, two thoughts. First of all, I think there's a bigger issue here, and I think it's the fact that people want to bring democratization to the church, and that's like with a lowercase d, because the church has never been a democratic institution. That's my first thought, and you can see that played out in a whole many different ways. The second thought I have is this. What we have here is what you used to refer to Bible-believing they're liberal on theology, they're conservative on social issues, therefore they're okay.
Yeah, I think good insight. Thank you very much, Steve. He reminds me of an article that I wrote that's floating around out there on the web, on the internet someplace, called Bible-Believing Liberals, where you are socially, morally, and politically conservative, but when it comes to matters of quote-unquote theology and doctrine, you play really fast and loose with that stuff. And the church is full of these so-called Bible-believing liberals. They'll say, oh, I believe in the Bible, inspiration, all of those things. And on all of the political issues, they can tick all the right boxes. But when it comes to things like women's service in the church, ecumenism, all of these things that have traditionally marked a biblical view theologically, they play fast and loose. So I think I've rightly labeled those who hold that position Bible-believing liberals. John is calling from his car. Hi, John.
Yeah, I just believe that Jesus didn't ordain them apostles because he knew if he did that to women, they would be assuring their certain death. And that's the only view I have on that.
All right. John, thank you very much. Of course, he was also assuring the certain death of the men he ordained as apostles, and he knew it. I mean, he knew that all but one of them, John, would die for preaching Christ. Things more dangerous than even putting a woman in harm's way. He was assuring Peter's death, John's death, James' death, all of their deaths by ordaining them apostles, and he knew it. So I don't know if that argument holds much water, to tell you the truth. Kathleen is listening in Hazelwood, Missouri. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. You mentioned cultural and inspiration of the word.
Yes.
And I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I do not think a woman should hold a pastoral duty within the church. And I do feel that the culture is invading our church, all denominations. I mean, look at the divorce rate among Christians, or so-called Christians, is equal or higher than that of the world, as well as abortion. And I just think it's inevitable that this will happen. I praise the Southern Baptist Church for holding true to the Word of God and not allowing it.
Kathleen, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. And Hazelwood, well, I agree with you 100%. This is just one example, a rather glaring example of the church capitulating to culture or allowing culture to hold an authority over the Word of God. Let's just call it what it is. They're allowing the culture to dictate what they do, practice, preach, teach, and all those things, rather than God's Word alone. Mike is calling from Strasburg, Illinois. Hi, Mike. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you very much. In terms of the cultural argument, I believe it was a previous guest of Issues Etc., but I don't recall which one, was talking about in responding to the argument that Paul was just following the culture of the day by not allowing women to hold authority in the church, is actually the exact opposite of the historical evidence. You have the priestesses of Diana, you have the priestesses of Ashtoreth, and by limiting the role of the pastoral office to men only, the church was actually being countercultural and saying that there's something more important than following culture.
Thank you very much, Mike, and I think you're quite right. I think that's quite right. Paul is actually bucking the system. The culture, the pagan culture of his day, would have been completely comfortable with female pastors, preachers, and priestesses. They would have been completely comfortable with that. The culture actually had the opposite influence on people of that day, and Paul's being a bit revolutionary in taking a stand against it. Let's see. Brady is listening in Wisconsin. Hi, Brady.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Well, good. The caller before me kind of took my thunder there. But one of the things that is unique when people make an argument that it was cultural, and ergo, like when Jesus chose the 12 disciples, that they try to say that Jesus knew that they'd only listen to men. What we're doing is kind of lowering God. That it wasn't God in control, but the world controlling God. does that make sense?
Yeah, that Jesus was kind of sticking his finger up in the air to see which way the cultural and social norms were blowing and saying, you know, okay, probably smartest that I pick. If that were the case, Jesus wouldn't have bothered with they were not illiterate fishermen, but they certainly were not equipped initially to do what they did. He would not have bothered with those men. He would have gone out and find people. He would have done a job search, a headhunt search, and found people more. He would have picked the best rhetoricians of his day. But he chooses people who are kind of patently unqualified or underqualified for the task. He still does it today. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Brady. Thanks for listening in Wisconsin. This email comes from Mary in Southern Illinois. She says, I regard this as similar to the argument over marriage. Gender is central. It's not whether we're capable of skills needed to be a pastor. That is true. And I don't think the question of why women would want to do that, fill in the blank, rather it is gender. That which makes men and women different. Different roles in sexual union and procreation and marriage and in the church. Jesus' bride, remember, she says? Just as the man dies or is willing to for his wife, Christ died for his church, our pastor in the stead and by the command of Jesus takes on a significant risk to lead the church. I'm glad that it is you, Todd, and not your brother pastors, men, all of you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, it's quite true. To deny this, in fact, Joe Dallas once said on these airwaves when we were talking with him that the move to put the woman at the altar and in the pulpit precipitated the move to put a homosexual at the pulpit and the altar. Why? Because we were saying thereby that the differences of gender, ergo orientation, all the other things that go along with them are immaterial and irrelevant. And I think he's right. Don in Junction City, Kansas, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. If the Southern Baptist compromises the scriptures on this issue, they'll be just like the Episcopal Church a few years down the road. When you once stop, there's no stopping it. Start that type of thing because they will destroy the whole biblical foundation.
Don, thank you very much. The logic that is used to explain away the scriptures limiting the pastoral office to men is exactly the same logic and exegetical techniques, tricks, used to explain away issues of marriage and all these other things. And the proof is in the history and the pudding. Just look at the the denominations that have ordained women and where they have gone on virtually every other biblical issue. Mike in Billings, Montana says, please distinguish how we can discard other laws in Scripture, mostly the Old Testament, and still uphold the mandate against women holding places of authority in the church. Well, we don't discard old laws. They're fulfilled in Christ. The Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ. That was shadow and type, and Christ is the substance. And St. Paul speaks on the authority of that Christ when he says a woman should not exercise authority over a man in the church. So if it's fulfilled in Christ, and Christ is a fulfiller of those Old Testament laws, he speaks authoritatively. And we don't do away with or disregard any section of Scripture, especially those words that we've received and the authority that we've received from Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.